This podcast is powered by Men's Tee Clinic. June is Men's Health Month. Optimize your total wellness with Men's Tee Clinic. For over a decade, Tolos continue to trust Men's Tee Clinic to transform their hormone health, mental focus, weight, movement, and sexual health. Be the next life change. 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or menstclinic.com.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Right now, we want to check in with former Texas Rangers pitcher, philanthropy superstar, and frequent visitor to 105.3 The Fan. It is Derek Holland. Howdy, howdy, sir.
What's going on? I just listened to that last segment, and I just want to say, what the F is Bobby trying to do with our chemistry that we have? That's something you were talking about, how to use that F word, and that was it right there. What the F is he doing?
Then I am obligated to tell you that I think Bobby is effing great, and he is very clever. And I think he's the best.
Just a good all-around guy.
Yeah, he's great.
You know, with you trying to butter him up, you know he can't give you a promotion or anything, right?
That is fair. He's not your boss, Higgy.
I don't know, man. He has a lot of jobs. I believe he has the ability to move up the corporate ladder and make things happen. All right.
If you say so.
Okay. What is your excitement level? Because we've been talking about it a lot today. What is your excitement level about Cooper Flagg? Or did you kind of peek out with excitement like a month and a half ago?
Well, I'm very excited to see what the Mavs are doing after, you know, obviously the heartbreak that we had last year. I saw some people post it to shout out to the Mavs fan base that they have out there. Somebody put out, we got to stop with the fire Nico chants. You know, we can't give Flag that negativity. You know, that stuff that's past. We got to move forward. Let's build around him. Let's give him the love that he deserves, as he's now the new guy, and we need to make him feel welcome and feel comfortable. We get what's happened in the past, but we've got a nice old superstar in the making with us now. So let's embrace that. Let's stay behind him and the rest of the team as well.
By the way, you're also an avid Stars fan. Are you excited about Jamie Benn coming back? 1 year, $1 million, has the potential to make up to $4 million with incentives.
Yeah, I'm excited for Jamie. He's been a great friend to me. He's been somebody that, you know, we grew up basically together with these organizations, whether it's Rangers and the Stars, is just being able to watch each other's careers and what he's done, being able to be the captain. I mean, that's the guy you want to have around, and to be able to see, too, that he's been a Dallas star. He hasn't gone anywhere else. His loyalty's here. He cares about this fan base. He cares about this team. I think getting him back, and hopefully we can take care of business and get us a cup. That's what we need to do so we can send him out the right way.
Okay, well, since you just said that, can you describe to people who, like, maybe they don't know or maybe they think they know, how much do the Dallas Stars mean to Jamie Benn?
It means a lot to him. You know, anybody that's played for one organization their whole career, you know, you look at somebody like Dirk, for instance, those guys are so loyal to this fan base, and they want to do everything they can to represent not only the city of Dallas, but the organization, the Stars, and they want to help to get the ultimate goal, and that's to win the Cup.
Love it. Now, obviously, we like talking to you for any reason, but one of the things that we really wanted to point people's attention to is Change the Game. Derek Holland, 60 Feet 6 Foundation. You guys got your golf tournament coming up on Monday at Diamond Oaks Country Club in Fort Worth. For people who don't know, hopefully they do by now, but people who don't know, why did you start this foundation and what do y'all do?
Man, I got taught from two of the best guys that I got to play with Ian Kinsler and Michael Young. They showed the way for me when I was a rookie of what it takes to not only the baseball side of things, but how to do things in the community and help those that are going through the tough times. And I got introduced to a kid by the name of Briggsberry, and that's where it all started for me, was being able to see what these kids go through and being able to be that light for them. That's what it's all about, is how can I give them that moment to show that there's more than just one person or their family that's involved that wants to be there for them, that's pulling for them. So every time I would go to a hospital, whether it's dressing up in superhero stuff like Batman or whatever, it's a getaway for them and letting them know that there's more than just a family that cares about them, and we want to give them that opportunity so that there is no doubt. They continue to believe in themselves. They continue to believe that all these people are behind them and know that we care about them, and we want them to be able to enjoy their lives, because no kid should be dealing with these issues or being in hospitals like this.
So, Derek, that means I could show up to Diamond Oaks Country Club in Fort Worth on Monday and come soak in the scenes, even if I'm not golfing. Am I allowed to do that?
you are more than welcome to. That's what we encourage. You know, we'd like to get people out there just to be able to raise awareness. That's what it's all about. I am going to bring out a little girl by the name of Ariana. She's dealing with brain cancer. And so 2 years ago, she got to shave my head because of what she was going through. She had lost her hair. She was going through all that. And then we had found out that day, too, that she was in remission. And so we got to celebrate with everybody. And it was probably one of those things, letting her see all those people celebrating and cheering for her and being behind her. And then, unfortunately, now things have taken a turn for the worse. The cancer has come back. And, again, we're in this with her, and that's what she needs to see. And I want her to know that we all care about her. We love her. We want her to be good and continue to keep this fight and know that we're there with her every step of the way, because that's what it's all about, is being able to come together as one and showing these kids that we care about them. And I want Ariana to know what we as a community mean to her.
Well, amen to that, man. I cannot wait to get out there. I cannot wait to meet her, hang out with you, and soak it all in. As man, I'm also pumped with the coaching news. This is pretty incredible. The pitching coach for UT Dallas, Derek Holland. Coach Holland, that's got a nice ring to it. I'm curious, Derek, who are you? What's your coach comp? We talk about player comps all the time.
Oh, yeah.
What's your coach style?
Well, I was going to try to our ball. You know, I was going to go buy a kid a cheeseburger, and then I found out you can't do that. So I have to figure out a new approach. I do want that winning atmosphere, you know, like Michigan, that national championship. That's what I'm trying to bring to the table. I want these kids to, one, I'm trying to help them get to the next level. That's the ultimate goal. I'm no longer a player. I'm a coach. And it's now help these kids to be successful. As somebody who's been there, the experience is there. I want to be able to teach them the ways so that they can get there. My ultimate goal is you come to my school, we're going to get you out of here. The ultimate prize is to get you drafted. But at the same time, we also want to get you to go to where you want to go to school at, get your schooling paid for, help you to be successful, take care of your parents, take care of your family, and just live out the dream that you dream about.
Is it still Coach Shoemake there?
Yes, he is.
Wow!
And you'll be channeling some level of Coach Ballsack from time to time, obviously.
Oh, that's a fact. And, you know, it's funny, too, you're saying Coach Holland has a ring to it. A lot of the kids that I've already been talking to that are on the team already call me Coach Dutch. So I kind of like that one. That one's got a big ring to it, too.
You're right. Yeah, Coach Dutch is even better. Maybe even, I mean, Coach Hallsack from time to time. I don't know. I'm just really spitballing.
That's pretty good. That is pretty good. So where do people go if they want to learn more about the tournament or the charity or the cause or anything like that?
So you can check it out on 60feet6.org, or you can go to the Instagram page of 60feet6. It's also on X as well. So you can find everything out there. I'm going to be posting more stuff. If you follow me on any social media platform, you'll see that that's out there as well. We're going to have a long drive champion coming out that's going to play with us. He's actually called the original Happy Gilmore. So it's going to be quite interesting to see the excitement. I do want to shout out DeMarcus Ware is going to be there. Colby Lewis will be there. Elvis, who's going to be freshly inducted to the Texas Rangers Hall of Fame, will be there. So we're going to have quite the list of guys coming out and helping out. I mean, you got some former Mavs. You're going to have Devin Harris will be there as well. So we've got a solid group of guys that's there to help us make a difference.
And then I just wanted to shout you out as well. I know this is for your personal charity. Over the years, you've been super helpful with My Possibilities and Peace-a-thon again and again and again. So I know you're a charitable fella who doesn't always seek the attention, but I appreciate it, man. I appreciate you.
Well, that's what it's all about. I mean, I have the platform that I got to use, and I like being able to spread the word and helping as much as I possibly can. I mean, you see how my personality is, and I know I got criticized for it, but at the end of the day, it's still paying off being who I am, being true to myself, and helping those that are going through tough times.
And we saved the most important question for Eric.
Yeah, I don't want to get like too bogged down with the serious stuff or whatever, and this is obviously a hard-hitting question, but Derek, if you had one sauce for the rest of your life to dip chicken tenders in, what would that sauce be?
So that's the thing. I missed your whole bracket thing, so I'm very upset. As I was
coming up at 122.
Okay, good. Then I will make sure I hear that. I did like, Eric, you brought this up, the gravy from Whataburger with the chicken tendies. I mean, that's fantastic. I like to do a combo of ranch and barbecue sauce mixed together and go from there.
A little ranch-a-cue.
Oh, that's I love right. That answer. Oh, man, tremendous. So, Well, thank you very much, good sir. 60feet6.org. The tournament Monday, this Monday, at the Diamond Oaks Country Club in Fort Worth, 5821 Diamond Oaks Drive. It's from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. If you want to contribute, want to learn about the cause, want to show up, please help out. Thank you very much, good sir.
Thanks, guys. I appreciate it. And I hate that you let Bobby influence the short interview, but you know what? I take what I can get from you guys. Just remember, you're my favorite show.
Oh, love you. Thank you very much. There's Derek Holland right here on 105.3 The Fan. And I did see some people texting in. They're right. I am in fear of Bobby's skills and creativity. Absolutely. I don't even want to deny that.
As somebody who's been a victim of Bobby's slander and malice,
yeah,
I'm here to tell you, you should be fearful.
Now, Eric, you whispered or mouthed ask about the sauce. Yeah. I thought you were saying something about the Stars, and I thought maybe they had hired their new coach.
Breaking news.
Because look, there's been buzz about it. Is Bob Stauffer from, you know, the TV dinners and Oilers Now said that the Oilers had granted Stars permission to interview Glenn Gulutson, a previous head coach with the Stars, and the general thinking is that it's down to Gulutson or Neil Graham for the Stars head coaching job. So when you said that, I thought you were trying to be like, hey, we got Stars news. And I was like, oh man, did we pick a coach? And that's why I turned off my mic and you go, yeah, ask about the sauce.
Way more important. It's the
I was
sauce.
Like, oh, okay. So yes, I really did think perhaps we would have a coaching decision made, but it feels like that is imminent. By the way, a lot of things happening in the NHL right now. Did you see the bold decision that there looks like they're going to make? That they're going to extend the season by two more games to 84 games?
What is Bettman doing? Buttman, I think, actually makes more sense.
So it's interesting that the feedback hockey has gotten as a whole is we need more regular season games. That's what they've taken away from this.
That not is how, so stupid.
Not how everybody thinks playoff hockey is the greatest thing in the world. They're like, what if two more regular season games? Because then we'll really find out who deserves to be the number one seed, or C1 as it is now. You're not even the real number one seed anymore.
This sport was two games away from being just awesome.
Yeah. Now they're going to figure it out. And one more thing, because I wanted to go back to this. I saw this, I think it was on Bleacher Report, about the trade packages for Jason Robertson. Hmm. And they threw out the Los Angeles Kings, the New York Rangers, the Detroit Red Wings, the Calgary Flames, and the Carolina Hurricanes. So those are the five teams. And we don't necessarily have time to like dive into each trade package, but I wanted to point out each hypothetical trade package came with a first round pick. So I don't know, at a time when the Stars have actually had to trade away quite a few draft picks for their team, and I get it, feels like they made a lot of solid moves, does that spark your interest at all, knowing that every single trade package that's hypothesized here starts with a first-round pick and then adds players from there?
Yeah, I think that's a no-brainer. I think that has to be a part of the situation. As you mentioned, they've moved on from plenty of their picks
for
recently.
Sure.
So
would that at least have you listen?
You're totally, like, oh, yeah. Yeah, I'm in on the idea of Robertson needing to move, but I also don't, I'm not just trying to give him away. I think
sure.
A first-round pick, obviously, plus some other things, I'm down for that. I think that could make plenty of sense.
Yeah, so just something to keep an eye out on. I still think Philadelphia would probably be another team that was interested, but if they all start with a first-round pick and go from there, I wonder if the Stars would just be a little bit more inclined to listen. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, it's time for some NFL overreaction or reality. Plus, I feel like we got to do some of our giveaways. Let's cram it into the expressway next on The Fan. It's time for some NFL overreaction or reality, and don't forget, we still got an AEW ticket giveaway that we will do in this show. Are you ready, Eric, for overreaction or reality?
My body is ready.
Okay.
The question is Jacobs.
He might need a second.
That's true. I forgot
about
the
always ready.
Yeah, okay. Okay, fair. but he's also answering your lovely calls.
He's jaking your calls right now.
This podcast is powered by Men's Tee Clinic. June is Men's Health Month. Optimize your total wellness with Men's Tee Clinic. For over a decade, Tolos continue to trust Men's Tee Clinic to transform their hormone health, mental focus, weight, movement, and sexual health. Be the next life change. 972 Go Men's Tee or menstclinic.com.
Okay. Overreaction or reality? TJ Watt on the Commanders would terrify you.
Ooh.
So there's an article out talking about the best fits for players who were not at mandatory minicamp and stuff like that. So you know the talent, you hear the name, you know the coordinator, or I guess the head coach, but like you know his defensive prowess. Overreaction or reality, TJ Watt on the Commanders would terrify you.
Well, first it would make me sick because we all know he should have just been a Cowboy from day one, and the idea that he would be in the division with not a star on his helmet would be frustrating. Right. But yes, that would be very terrifying. I will say, from according to my sources, we have nothing to worry about in terms of TJ Watt not being a Steeler.
Okay.
That's like one of those guys that is just like they're gonna have a statue of him or something. They just absolutely love him. They're gonna get it figured out. But in this hypothetical, yes, that would probably put it over the top for me to say the Commanders win the division.
Do you think there would also be a party in Waxahachie at Worth Collecting where the biggest Washington fan I know owns and runs that card shop?
Oh my gosh. That would be electric. That would be like when we found out that we won the lottery for the Mavs.
Oh my gosh.
I think that's what it would feel like for those guys.
I let some kids smash my sunglasses because of that.
I remember that story.
It was weird. How we got there was weird. NFL overreaction or reality? Joe Burrow will be named the NFL MVP. We've seen that the Bengals still don't really care to get their defensive issues locked down. He'll put up mind-boggling stats once again, and this time people will be like, what are we even doing? Last year, 4,900 yards passing, 43 touchdowns, nine interceptions. Or do you think the fact that his team could have a mediocre record would destroy his possibility?
Yeah, that's what I would go with. I mean, man, it is hard to beat 70% completion, basically 5,000 yards, 43 touchdowns, and single-digit interceptions. Right. That right there, just the idea that he could even do that again, QBR 75, that alone is going to be difficult. But again, that defense I still think is so bad that it'll prevent them. There's some level of winning that you have to do in order to win the MVP. And it won't be because of Joe Burrow that they don't win enough games for him to sort of qualify. But yeah, I don't see that defense being good enough for them to be able to be a playoff team. Thus, no MVP for Joseph Lee Burrow.
Now, we've decided we might let Jacob answer this question. NFL overreaction or reality? Philadelphia Eagles will be the first team to repeat as NFC East champions in 21 years.
Wow. I believe in streaks like this. Something is not going to go as well for them. I think the first one is just the idea that Saquon Barkley, who meant so much to that offense, yeah. The idea that he's going to be that productive and that healthy again, I just don't see it happening. A lot of this has to do with my affinity for Jaden Daniels as well.
Okay.
And of course, there's an outside chance that the Cowboys find a way to put it all together. But yeah, I think it's fair to say that the Eagles don't win the division.
Ooh.
See, I'm right there with Eric. I'm going to say overreaction. My big question is, I mean, we saw after they lost the Super Bowl, I mean, in the middle of that season, that team imploded. So I'm curious as to how long this honeymoon period is going to end or going to last until, you know, Nick Sirianni and all his players start getting into it again and we got a bunch of drama on that team. So
right.
I'm going to say overreaction.
All right. NFL overreaction reality. The Raiders will have a better record this season than the Jets. I decided to pick two fairly run-of-the-mill, perhaps bottom-feeding teams, but the Jets had a better record than the Raiders this year. So I say flip it. This year, Raiders will have a better record than the Jets.
Wow, that's a really good one. That's
kind of depressing too, right?
It is. It is. Even though I think you have the both teams sort of on the up and up, I would say, but probably more so for for the Raiders because Pete Carroll is just a solid, get you back to sort of the middle of the road and get you out of the cellar dweller sewage of the NFL that the Raiders have been for so long. The Geno Smith aspect. I'll tell you, the trio of Geno Smith, actually, it's really it's four because you have Chip Kelly, Geno Smith, Brock Bowers, and Ashton Jeanty. Like those four right there, to me, brings a ton of excitement. And we're still talking about Justin Fields playing quarterback for the Jets.
That's true.
So I will say that the Raiders will end up with a better record than the Jets.
I'm once again going to agree with Eric. I think the Raiders are going to have a really surprisingly good offense. And I think the Jets are going to fall apart very early. I wouldn't be surprised to see Garrett Wilson dealt at the deadline. And even though the Raiders are in a tougher division, I think they have a lot better coaching. So I think they're going to take this one.
Perhaps the spiciest question of overreaction or reality today. Over the weekend, Kevin Durant told Kay Adams, I think Micah Parsons will be a Commander at some point in his career. I would say 2 years from now. That's what Kevin Durant said.
Yeah.
So I say this. Overreaction or reality? Micah Parsons will play for another team in the next 4 to 5 years.
I think that's a pretty large overreaction.
Okay.
Jerry and company are going to get this deal done.
I agree with that.
It'll be at minimum of a 4-year extension on top of the final year that he already has right now.
Is he getting 4 years, 168 with 125 guaranteed?
Sounds like that's what you're thinking, Hagee, and I'm going to trust your calculator brain.
Okay.
So, yes, something along those lines. And, yeah, the Cowboys just don't, unless he just completely falls apart from a production standpoint, like 3 years into the deal, and they have like an out to just say, we're cutting you.
Yeah.
But otherwise, no, he will be here for the next 4 or 5 years.
I think Jerry Jones and that front office is so proud of themselves for finding a player like Micah Parsons at number 12 overall that there's no way they let him walk. And if it is a gross overpay, I think that is much more likely to happen than him leaving.
Yeah. Yeah. Bonus question. It made you nervous when Mike Parsons responded to this by saying, I only rock with Dan Quinn.
Yeah, I was like, okay.
That's probably not what you want to hear, right?
Yeah, I didn't know if he was basically saying, like, I only rock with Dan Quinn and nothing else about the Commanders is something I would rock with.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Or if it's like, yeah, I could see that.
Eberflus, Zimmer, whatever. I only rock with Dan Quinn.
Yeah. All right, NFL overreaction or reality. You, like Josh Allen, are impressed by Drake May. So Josh Allen said, I think Drake is super talented. I'm assuming Drake May, and we didn't just confuse this whole entire situation. He's one of my favorite young quarterbacks in the league. I've spent some time around him. He's got his head on his shoulders the right way. He does things the right way. I think he exemplifies football. Overreaction or reality, you are also super high on Drake May, just like Josh Allen.
Yes. I actually was a big fan of Drake May coming out. That's one of the quarterbacks that I was like, I actually liked him more than Jaden Daniels. That's probably not the best of takes at this particular point,
sure.
But I think there's a world where I would have taken Drake May number one overall over Caleb Williams or Jaden Daniels. So I really liked what he did in college. He was able to, I liked his scrambling. I mean, he was scrambling for first downs at an insane rate, still brought that to the Patriots last year. So, and he did it with nothing in the way of talent around him.
Right.
They were nervous about playing him because the offensive line was so bad. It's like, sure, you're going to get this guy hurt or you're just going to make him fear for his life moving forward because that offensive line is so disgusting. So, yes, especially with some of the talent that they've brought in now and bringing in some more offensive linemen, drafting Campbell out of LSU to be his blindside protector. Vrabel as the coach, he's just a guy that finds ways to win even with a lack of talent to some extent. So I don't know that I love the Josh McDaniels return as the play caller. But yes, when it comes to Drake May, I am 100% in on this guy.
I'm also very high on him. Probably not as high as Eric is, because I do love me some Caleb Williams. But
on the player, gotcha.
On the player, yeah, yeah. I thought that when Drake May came into the NFL, I thought he stepped in with probably a top 10 arm already. I just think the processing needs to get a little more advanced. And I think he's got a great leadership staff up there in New England led by Mike Vrabel. So I wouldn't be shocked if he's a top five quarterback this year.
Drake May delivered a 60% catchable ball rate on throws versus pressure last year. That's 13 out of 42 qualifiers, according to Jacob Gibbs.
Okay.
It was a great follow, by the way, in terms of just like advanced numbers and things like that.
And that's pretty encouraging, especially for first year.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, completion percentage over expectation was really, really good. Just more accurate than I think people thought he was going to be.
Yeah.
Because he knew about the cannon arm, the size, the athleticism, the ability to run and scramble. All that was on full display.
Sometimes do you think that just gets lost or bogged down in the fact that your record was bad or the team's record was bad? Do you think people more easily dismiss some of your positive traits because they're like, hey, your team sucked?
Yes. 100%. It's like, I didn't. How many people can really sit there and say I was watching Patriots football games last
fair,
year?
Very fair. By the way, Patriots, they got graded as the second best offseason by CBS Sports.
Here's the other thing that I love about Drake May is just the creating plays outside of the structure of the play. And we're seeing these awesome quarterbacks.
Yeah.
The Mahomeses, the Josh Allens, the Lamar Jacksons. Hey, play breaks down. I might be at my best in that particular case.
Right.
He gets out of the pocket, whatever, scramble mode, and boom, he makes the right play. He's already one of the best quarterbacks in the league at that. Small sample to this point, but that skill is absolutely there.
I gotcha. So they had the second best offseason per CBS Sports. Overreaction or reality, did the Bears have the best NFL offseason? That is who CBS put at number one.
Well, if I say no, I got to replace it with who did have the best offseason.
You could still say New England.
Yeah, well, that's true. New England's definitely done.
I really liked the way they just overhauled their offensive line. They're like, the hell with it. We need a whole lot of help.
And obviously, it's an unknown because we haven't seen him in the role, but Ben Johnson was the hottest head coach candidate. So just starting with that.
That is a good point.
Credit to the Patriots as well with Vrabel. I think most people respect that particular hire. So I can understand why the Bears would be getting that love. Some people question their draft a little bit, though. Colston Loveland at tight end instead of Tyler Warren, Penn State, that everybody thought was the best tight end.
But you know, it's really interesting. Like, people were tipped off to that along the way because I don't know how much y'all talked about it. I was fascinated by the fact that his betting odds changed dramatically in the last 48 hours. That has nothing to do with your main point about who you thought was the best or who most people did. But Loveland picked up so much steam that like last 48 hours. I just remember that was one of my overreactions or realities at the time, is that Loveland would be the first tight end off the board.
Yeah, yeah. And I'll tell you, just with the Ben Johnson factor, it was clearly the best candidate. And the way they did the offensive line, they already got the weapons. They get Luther Burden in the second round. It's a first round talent wide receiver. So it's hard to argue against the Bears.
I probably shouldn't be allowed to answer this question because I don't have the capability to put my bias aside. But I 100% agree.
Well, hold on. Let me ask you a bonus question.
Yeah, yeah.
Will that get them in the playoffs?
Ooh, that's tough. See, personally, I have them kind of on the 7-9 win track. But like I've said a couple seasons now, I could see them anywhere from 6 wins to 12 wins. Just kind of depends on how you evaluate each team on the schedule during the season. I don't think they will make the playoffs this year.
Okay. Bonus question to you.
I agree. I don't think they're making the playoffs this year either.
Okay.
That's a lot to ask. With a rookie head coach, second-year quarterback, I still think their defense is going to have some issues. But in terms of what you can accomplish in one offseason and setting yourself up for a bright future, I love what they did. I love what the Patriots did. I think the Vikings actually had a really good offseason. We'll see about J.J. McCarthy, but they revamped their offensive line as well in a way that I think is going to be important for them. So there was a few teams that did some nice things, but the Bears at number one is totally fair.
So, but you have to be pretty stoked if, like, even if they miss the playoffs and they went 9-8, right?
Yeah, I am pretty excited. I mean, it's a tough division. A lot of people argue that's the hardest division in football. So, I think if you can get through division games with 3 or 4 wins, I mean, I think you call that a win.
Yeah. And here's something else to consider. The Bears do have one of the, you mentioned the division, they have one of the toughest schedules in the entire league.
That makes sense.
And they're over under 8.5. Like 9 wins would be a huge, that'd be a great season.
Yeah. You know, you're just talking about J.J. McCarthy. This wasn't really one of my planned questions. I'm just curious, where do you fall on him? Because, man, there's a lot of projection being put on this kid that he's ready to roll.
He was another one of those guys. Here was the thing that stood out to me just from, and I don't break down the film the way Broaddus and Walchuk do leading up to these drafts, but one of the nuggets that I saw from Dane Brugler was just that when it was 3rd and 7 or more with that Michigan offense in McCarthy's final season, of all the quarterbacks in the draft class that year, he was the best at converting the 3rd and 7s.
Oh, okay.
3rd and 7 or more. Yeah. You know, so it's like when everybody knows you have to pass, I think that is a huge tip of the cap to your quarterback when you're consistently moving the chains on 3rd and long situations. He's also a Jaden Daniels type virtual reality quarterback. He was living in the virtual reality headset this season when he was injured.
Sure.
I would assume he's continuing to do that. And so I think that's awesome. And then you put the fact on, he's got the best wide receiver in the league, maybe one of the best wide receiver twos in the league. They upgraded their offensive line and Kevin O'Connell's his head coach. If he doesn't succeed, then gosh dang it, JJ, what happened?
Really quick, one more. NFL overreaction or reality. Kirk Cousins will start for another team this year.
No, I'm not buying that. That's going to be an overreaction.
Because you think they spent all the money and they're like, why wouldn't we just keep him at this point just in case Penix has a problem?
Clearly, yeah.
June is Men's Health Month. Optimize your total wellness with Men's T Clinic. For over a decade, Tolos continue to trust Men's T Clinic to transform their hormone health, mental focus, weight, movement, and sexual health. Be the next life change. 972-GO-MEN'S-T or mensTclinic.com.
I mean, they already had their chance to move on from him. They had to, like, guarantee him another... Like, he was getting more guaranteed money. There was some point in the calendar where they could have just moved on and saved themselves from money. They clearly don't want to do that. All the other jobs are filled. I don't see a team really going for that.
Barring an injury from a contender, like, if...
But you have to factor that in.
Yeah.
That could happen.
I just don't see it happening. I think the return... they're probably going to ask you to take on the contract, which you don't want to do because he's making so much money.
Yeah.
And I think the reality of him coming off the bench, because at the middle of the season by the trade deadline, he will have been sitting for an entire year. I just don't see him coming off and being ready.
All right. Thank you guys very much. And that is overreaction or reality. Now, we've been switching some stuff up all day. So right now, I say we go to the Chi Block starring Eric Chiafalo.
That sounds great. I'm actually obviously taking over Corey Major's segment. I do have an overreaction, a reality for you. Corey's screaming of let's give something away is a million times better than mine.
Look.
Million times.
I like the way he does that very, very much.
He's so good at it.
It makes contests that even theoretically I wouldn't be excited about, even if I could win, it makes me more excited. Like when he did that for the Insane Clown Posse tickets, even I was like, maybe I do want to win those tickets.
Hey, dude. What is a Juggalo is still an all-time banger.
And the reason why I mentioned them specifically, I'm not going to lie. This was years ago when we did that giveaway. I was like, what? Is that a draw? Insane amounts of people. And people complained that, like, the phone lines were busy. There were so many people who wanted those tickets. And Corey just looked at me. He's like, I told you. And I was like, you were right. I misjudged that.
Juggalos are passionate, man.
They are.
They really are. I remember the Workaholics Juggalo episode. That's an all-timer.
I did really like that show.
It really is an all-timer. Okay, let's get down to brass tacks here. We start with a baseball stat, something that we need to be aware of. The Detroit Tigers are tied with the Dodgers for the best record in the MLB after 81 games played.
Which is weird, right?
I don't think anyone in America had that on their baseball bingo card to start the season.
Now, is that the same Detroit Tigers team that the Texas Rangers won the series and outscored them 17-6 along the way?
That is that same team. That is that
hell
same team.
Yeah!
I believe when it was Patrick Corbin going toe-to-toe with Tarek Skubal on a Friday night And if it wasn't for Scooble being other freaking worldly, we would have all been like, wow, Patrick, you are something special. Slider Man.
So the Rangers are 3-3 against the two best teams in Major League Baseball. Everybody else 37-38.
Keep in mind, Hagee, that the last three times that the Tigers had the best record in baseball at the halfway point of the season, they won the AL pennant.
Whoa!
So I don't know what that does to the Rangers' hopes.
Right now, you get the Tigers or every other team in the AL. Are you picking the Tigers? You presented the statistic.
I do love a good streak, Hagee. And the streak just simply says, I mean, these are just the facts.
I know. So are you going to back the facts or not?
I'm going to back the facts.
Okay. Eric just said the Rangers season's over.
Jake Rietma is fired up somewhere right now that I just backed his Tigers. Yeah, 68, 84, and 06. Those are
pretty big gaps there.
That's the trend, yeah.
Good for them. Look, you can argue the same thing about the Rangers. Well, we went from, 72 to 2010? We didn't win the American League. So.
You know, once every 20, 30 years, the Tigers have themselves a nice season.
And we're 19 years away from the last time. So maybe it is about time.
I don't want to be get-off-my-lawn guy, but can we all agree that the NBA draft insistence on forcing players to put on a hat of a team that we all know he's not actually going to. Like, can we end that? Have we ever got an explanation as to why it's a yearly lament for me on NBA draft night when we know that Trae Young's not going to the Mavericks?
Yeah.
Or whatever.
What do you think is more egregious at this point? That or the fact that they decided to stick with the 2-day draft concept? Cause like who's locked
who's
in
fired
just
up for today tonight?
For the second round? Like, I get it. Even last year, they were like, "Oh, it's because of Bronny." Okay, but like, we're sticking with it because I'm with you. The hat thing is ridiculous. Cause like, that's the picture they're gonna have forever. Now, luckily, we've advanced pretty far in Photoshop. You could probably fix it up, but it's still absurd to be like, "Hey, you already got sent to Houston. Put this hat on."
And I do like. I wonder, do the players know in the moment? When it gets announced that Walter Clayton Jr. is going to the Wizards, but he's actually going all the way to Utah to play with the Jazz, does he know when he's shedding tears of excitement, the culmination of all his hard work?
Yeah.
Is he thinking about, okay, where am I going to live in Washington? I have to go to the worst team in the league. That kind of sucks, but hey, here we are.
And instead, it's like, what do you know about Joseph Smith?
Yeah. In fact, you are going on the other side of the country now.
Yes.
You're going to be in Utah instead of Washington. I do wonder, do the players know when they go walk up on the stage, shake Adam Silver's hand with a hat?
That's a great question.
Do they know that they're actually not a part of that team? Or is the NBA
really
just completely ball sacking them? And all of us at home know that he's going to Utah, and instead he thinks he's going to Washington.
I think they know, right?
I don't know if they know.
Okay.
I don't know why the NBA does what they do in this particular instance.
That's a good question.
It's a little bit weird. I will say this year's NBA draft team hats, really awesome.
Yeah.
I kept looking, like every single one of them. I was like, wood.
In an odd way, are you ever more impressed at the hat on top of the hair that the hat cannot contain? Now, as somebody who has long been follically challenged, I am just more impressed. Because I love the hairstyle, and I'm like, in the way the hat sits on it, it's tremendous.
Better to be follically challenged than phallically challenged. That's what I always say.
That's a good point. By the way, listen to the ads we play. If you listen to sports radio, there's a good chance an advertiser thinks it doesn't work.
Okay, let's go ahead.
You don't disagree with that,
not
do you?
At all. Yeah. No. I'm just going to move on seamlessly to the most diabolical coach in the NBA. If I say most diabolical coach in the NBA, Hagee.
I would have said Tom Thibodeau, but I know he lost his job.
That's true. He's no longer employed.
And again, so I'm not sure where we're going with this.
Joseph Henry Mazzulla.
Oh, yeah. That dude... He might be a genius. I really think he is a genius.
Okay. Well, tell me what you think about this particular mind game tactic that he did allegedly this year to Baylor Shireman, a rookie player for the Celtics.
Okay.
After telling Shireman upon drafting him that he doesn't like rookies and he's going to have to really do some special stuff to earn a single second of playing time.
That's good motivation.
Torrey Craig, who ended up being traded to the Celtics at one point during the season, recounts the story of an interaction he saw with the rookie, Shireman, versus Joe Mazzulla, okay? And it starts with them being in a doorway, and they're walking through the door at the same time. Now, Baylor Shireman just got out of the shower, and he's wearing a towel.
Okay.
And Mazzulla's coming out of the door, and Shireman's trying to go into the door. Mm-hmm. And so it becomes one of these, no, you go first. No, you go first. No, you go first. No, you got it. No, you got it. And Torrey Craig says, I just remember coming from working out and Baylor was standing in a towel in the hallway with his back against the wall and Joe was laying down some hardcore, just blank staring, like just stone cold face in the doorway.
I think he might be a genius.
And Craig just says, I was just wondering, okay, like what's going on here? And then he says, I come back 20 minutes later and they're still there.
What? What? He says, 20 minutes?
He says, then I come back 20 minutes after that, and they're still there. He says they both waited for upwards of an hour before there was a meeting that everyone had to be at, so eventually the stare-off ended.
Okay, so the rookie is staying there because he's like, this is a test.
Clearly, this is a test. I'm in my towel.
Yeah.
But this is a test. I know how much my head coach hates rookies. Yes. I am a rookie.
Yes.
I can't let him win here. He's clearly playing. This is mental warfare, mind games with a rookie. Life of a rookie Celtic. So he stood tall. I'm proud of him. I just can't believe Joe Mazzulla is actually that type of person. I can believe, I guess.
You should.
Because everything we hear about him is just that he is incessant with his diabolical nature of mental toughness and just trying to be comfortable in discomfort. But that is just one of the most ridiculous stories I've ever heard.
Was it about Tatum this year that one reporter said, have you talked to Jason Tatum? And he goes, I talk to him every day. And that reporter knew that was going to be the answer. And he goes, have you talked to him about his injury?
Yeah,
because like he was ready. He was like, I know I'm going to get some weird answer.
Well, he's the same coach who, upon Jason Tatum getting injured and writhing in pain on the floor, telling telling Tatum to get up, and two, holding back the trainer from running out onto the court to assist the injured player. That is Joe Mazzulla. Now I would like to take you to Netflix, where we have a brand new trailer for a brand new documentary titled, of course, Train Wreck, The Poop Cruise.
That's what it's called?
That is what it is titled.
You can see why I wouldn't be positive about that.
Some people will remember the 3 to 5 day stretch in February of 2013 where it was nothing but madness. And in the middle of an ocean, the Carnival cruise ship just bogged down, petered out, short-circuited, and decided no one is allowed to go home. Now, the details on this are pretty graphic, and I would like to play some of this trailer.
Okay.
Now, this is a cruise ship losing power, 4,000 passengers stranded at sea with toilets that don't flush and ovens that don't work, microwaves neither. Take it away, Poop Cruise trailer.
Good afternoon. Welcome on board the beautiful Triumph.
We just love going on cruises. The food, the pool, the water slide. I mean, what more could you ask?
This was absolutely the bachelorette party that I had dreamed of.
We were like, this is awesome.
And then the lights go out.
Attention. Empathy.
Oh my God.
More than 4,000 people are stuck on a cruise ship that is dead in the water.
That's when all of us were like, what the f***?
When power goes, that's it. Everything's out.
It was immediately crisis mode.
The toilets weren't working. Well, we can do a number one in the shower. And then...
I'm telling you, it got bad fast.
I would never expect having to poop in a red bag.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
No.
suddenly everyone's out for themselves.
You could hear the panic. We were starting to smell urine.
Oh my God.
It was terrifying.
We had camera people, crews on boats, a helicopter up in the air.
Fights broke out. Oh.
The ship is on fire.
What the f- is happening on this cruise ship?
It's like shantytown.
It's like something that came out of a nightmare movie.
The snowball has started to roll, and there's no stopping it.
My God, it's chaos.
Wow, dude.
All right, so I'm really conflicted here. It sounds amazing. But right. Also, it sounds like it might be really, really, really gross.
817, my friend and her husband were on their honeymoon on that cruise.
What?
Wow. That is not setting you up for success in marriage.
Oh, man.
The honeymoon phase lasted about 24 hours for that couple. And then they got right into the nitty gritty on.
Yeah, because you can't be like, oh, remember how great our honeymoon for was? Better, like, for no. Worse. It was a literal S show.
Yeah, they apparently.
I'll probably watch it.
They run out of water, so they just open up the bar and let people drink liquor, which then just has them drunk and enraged and pooing everywhere. So really just a diabolical situation, and one of the reasons why I'll probably never get on a cruise ship.
I'm not going to lie. I kind of want to watch it. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, it's time for Gridiron Gravy. Which division has the best quarterbacks and how high is the NFC East? Next on The Fan.
June is Men's Health Month. Optimize your total wellness with Men's T Clinic. For over a decade, Tolos continue to trust Men's T Clinic to transform their hormone health, mental focus, weight, movement, and sexual health. Be the next life change. 972-GO-MEN'S-T or mensTClinic.com.